and thank you for tuning in to the Diplomat's Japan Affairs Podcast. My name is Jeff.
And my name is Angela.
And let's get right into some of the more popular news stories that have been taking place around Japan this week. For anyone who's been listening to our podcast, you're well aware that we've discussed some controversial topics involving Japan's World War II history, the comfort women issue, revisionist ideas about Japanese history, and so on. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's visit to Yasukuni Shrine late last year, and more recently the comments made by the new head of the NHK. There's been a lot of recent issues that kind of point to an ongoing conservative shift in the Japanese government, and at least among them and some public officials who might happen to be in front of microphones from time to time. I actually read recently that Abe's Liberal Democratic Party, the LDP, is hoping that the White House returns to the conservative GOP. Apparently they're fearing that Obama and the Democrats are too soft on China. So anyway, for all this talking about how the Japanese government's turning towards the right, we haven't really mentioned how this reflects on the average Japanese. There does seem to be some evidence that at least some Japanese people are embracing right-wing causes.
I agree. I think compared to a few years ago, recently I'm seeing more, large black trucks, that's associated with the right-wing movement, going down the streets and blasting patriotic music or giving speeches, again, about, against China and South Korea. There's also been, reports in the media about Netto Uyoku, which is called, the online right wing, having very, anti-Chinese or anti-Korean discussions on Nichan. Mm-hmm. There's also, for example, last year, the media reported, this right wing group called the Zaitokukai, and their name, if you translate it into English, it's basically a organization that's against the ethnic Koreans living in Japan. Mm-hmm. And they actually were seen in Shinokubo, which is basically the Korean town of Tokyo. They were holding up very racist signs and chanting very anti-Korean racial slurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've written in the past for The Diplomat mm-hmm. about these so-called hate parades. Mm-hmm. And the Zaitokukai also got in trouble last year, I think in Kansai. I forget what city, but they had been protesting outside of a Korean elementary school, calling the children cockroaches and things like that.
I've seen videos on YouTube of right-wing people protesting in front of... Because in Japan you have schools for a lot of ethnic Koreans living here where the curriculum's entirely in Korean. Mm-hmm. And there have been protests and also harassment to the students and the staff there by right-wing.
It's pretty disgusting activists. That these grown men are protesting in front of small children. It's shameful.
I don't know about the... Because, they're sort of... I guess they would still be considered a fringe group. I don't know about the public as a whole, but what do you think? Do you feel like a lot of your friends are, increasingly becoming more, right-wing...
Well, to be honest with you, a lot of my Japanese friends in my age group, I guess, in their 20s and early 30s, they're pretty uninterested in politics, it seems.
I know. I see the same thing among a lot of people.
Yeah.
I know.
For young people, I mean, work is so hectic over here that they really just don't have time. And I have done a bit of research, however, that leads me to believe that some housewives and stay-at-home moms might be migrating to the right.
Really?
So there was a really interesting piece published yesterday on Japan Today, and it talked about husbands being shocked to find out that their wives were supporting some of these uyoku causes. As I said, mostly housewives and stay-at-home moms. Much like otaku and hikikomori, I think, they spend a lot of time online. Mm-hmm. There seems to be some external factors at play, maybe feeling a sense of underappreciation or having misplaced anger that leads them to these hateful websites, but they seem to really like the ones that bash Zainichi, as you said, the ethnic Koreans who live in Japan as permanent residents. Mm-hmm. So there was a quote from a psychiatrist that was in this Japan Today piece, and I'll read it for you. The housewives I've encountered who have been drawn to the Neto Uyo are serious types and hard workers, but they have the sentiment that I do my best but am unappreciated. They feel their lives are boring. From thinking there's something wrong with society, this leads them to the media's not reporting the truth. And while these matters have no direct bearing on their lives, they become agitated. So, I'm probably asking for trouble by saying this, but in the US, I see a big parallel here with people who watch Fox News. All right, so let's switch gears over to business. And, you know, last week we talked about the Mt. Gox fiasco, and I actually wrote yesterday about the apparent suicide of a Bitcoin exchange CEO in Singapore. Needless to say, it's been a really bad couple of weeks for the virtual currency. But the latest Bitcoin bomb to drop is that Newsweek claims to have found the Bitcoin creator. And if they're right, he's a 64-year-old Japanese-American man living out in California.
Yes, and we don't know if the Newsweek article is accurate or not. You know, this story is still unfolding, but the writer of the article, her name is Leah McGrath Goodman. She wrote that, you know, there's evidence to back up her claim. You know, for example, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto and, you know, the name of the alleged creator of Bitcoin, it's the same. She wrote that, you know, the Nakamoto that she reported in her article is libertarian. He's also, you know, very reportedly wary of the government, taxes, and people in charge. She interviewed his daughter, who said that, you know, he taught his children to not be under the government's thumb. And also, during the 9/11 attacks in early 2000, he actually worked as a software engineer for the FAA. And so he was doing, you know, quote, very secret security and communications work. So, you know, a lot of these descriptions, you know, they fit someone who would, you know, be the creator of Bitcoin. Because, you know, Bitcoin is, you know, it's associated with people who hold libertarian ideas.
So is he a naturalized citizen?
He was born in Japan. He immigrated to the United States when he was young. And he became a U.S. citizen.
Okay. And, you know, in Japan, there are a lot of common names that repeat. So, is his name, in your opinion, particularly common, or do you think that it's unique enough that this is probably the guy?
Well, the reporter of the Newsweek article wrote that she actually had to go through and, you know, she wrote that there was more than one person with the name, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto. That the guy that she alleges is the creator of Bitcoin, he actually changed his name. His full name is Dorian Prentice Satoshi Nakamoto. So it's a unique name, and he seems to fit the description of...
Well, I think this whole revelation has a lot of Bitcoin enthusiasts up in arms, because the whole point of Bitcoin is to be anonymous.
Yes.
And outing this guy is, if it is him, with everything that's happened recently and all the money that's gone missing, there are probably some very dangerous people out there who, you know, would have a bone to pick with someone involved at the root of Bitcoin. So I'm not sure if I agree with what Newsweek is doing. And apparently there was a car chase.
Yes.
He was apparently with an AP reporter getting chased by other news organizations. And, I mean, it's just really... It's really sad if that's the case, because they're basically painting a target on this guy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I read that members of the Bitcoin community are, you know, looking at this, you know, Newsweek article with skepticism. One person wrote that this article presents zero evidence that this guy named Satoshi Nakamoto is the inventor of Bitcoin. Newsweek is going to get burned on this. And then another user actually... wrote that, and unless he can do a signed transaction from an address known to be that of the original Bitcoin, you know, they wouldn't believe the story. But, you know, there's still some facts that need to be uncovered about this story, so, you know, I think in the next few days we'll find more.
It'll be interesting to see if he sticks around. I'd be on the run if I was this guy. I'd be really worried about my family's safety, and especially if he has... If he is, in fact, the creator, surely he has a vast Bitcoin fortune.
Oh, he does.
And there are people that will want a piece of that, and there will definitely be people that want to take it by, you know, other means. So,
Moving on, I recently learned that the Japanese American National Museum in Los Angeles, they have a new exhibit, and it's called Perseverance, Japanese Tattoo Tradition in a Modern World. And it basically explores the art of traditional Japanese tattooing. And from what I've heard, it's actually popular in the United States and Europe to have, you know, Japanese-style tattoos because, you know, they're considered very beautiful. And that's strange because in Japan, you know, it's not really a matter of pride to be a tattoo artist or to even have tattoos because they're associated with the Yakuza.
Yeah. I actually, I have some tattoos, and I've been living here in Japan for 5 years. The association with being a criminal is something that a lot of tattooed individuals have to put up with because we're often banned from onsens, the Japanese hot springs. I've actually been banned from checking into a hotel one of my tattoos was visible.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really frustrating. And, you know, my mom has a tattoo, my dad has several, and my little brother is actually an apprentice to be a tattoo artist. And his favorite style is the Japanese style.
Yes.
And he's covered. I understand certain businesses might want to keep people away if they have offensive tattoos or,
yes,
you know, like,
you know, something,
something,
you know, with bad language.
Yeah, but for me personally, you know, my tattoos, two of them are memorial tattoos for my grandfathers that I had tattooed after they passed away. So I don't think any of mine are offensive, and being denied entry to a hotel or an onsen, public pool, a gym, it's really, it just breaks my heart because I got these things to remember family from.
Yes. And, you know, with the Olympics coming up, you know, there's going to be a lot of people coming to Tokyo. And, you know, some of these people are going to have tattoos. So it would reflect very badly on Japan if, you know, they continue to, you know, deny visitors, you know, access to hotels or, you know, famous onsen because they have tattoos.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's more of a fashion statement than than some type of association with crime. I know that Japan has the history of the Yakuza, who they traditionally have a basically a full body tattoo that at least extends to the elbows and knees, full back. They're very obvious when you see them.
They're very, you can tell, you know, somebody's a Yakuza
yeah.
if you see their tattoos.
But I also, as you said, have seen a lot of Western people who have the same style of tattoo, but are obviously not Yakuza.
Yes.
My wife's Japanese, and she has no problem with my tattoos now, but she always tells me, you better not think about getting more. And she said that she would never get one herself. Actually, there's a famous beach not too far away from Tokyo called Zushi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they just passed an ordinance that originally it said they were banning tattoos from the beach. And they recently revised it to say that they're banning, quote, scary tattoos, whatever that means.
Maybe there was a public outcry that made them, you know, change there.
Well, Zushi's near one of the U.S. military bases.
Mm-hmm.
So some people apparently complained that a lot of the military guys have these big tattoos. I think, you know, private establishments, little family-owned places, they can deny entry if they don't like people with tattoos. But a public beach,
or I've heard, you know, gyms.
Yeah.
Gyms turn down, turn away people with tattoos.
Yep. It's frustrating. And I hope that Japan can change, and for those businesses that don't, they're going to lose a lot of money in 2020, that's for sure. All right, well, thank you very much for listening. Please check back again next week for more news and analysis from Japan. Have a nice day.
Or night, wherever you are. Thank you.
Thanks.